A thought for today. The effect follows the cause. When our choices are well said, the cause is well done. The effect follows the cause. When our choices are well said, the cause is well done. The effect follows the cause. When our choices are well said, the cause is well done. Our life has been based upon effects, 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 effects. We've been based on symptoms, based on appearances, based on the outer. And because it's been based on the outer, we have experienced things in a very backward way. We eat because we're hungry. We drink because we're thirsty. We breathe because we're breathless. We talk because we have a lot of things to say. We are busy because we want to be happy with our bodies and keep our bodies active and alive and dynamic. Now, all of those things are sort of backwards. When we live in the presence of reality, in the presence of dynamic action, dynamic being, then things are done perfectly. Here at the monastery, we're teaching the idea that everything is in perfect divine order. We were speaking yesterday about insurance on a motorhome, on a mobile home. We were saying that the insurance on the mobile home should have fire insurance. And at first, the thought of that was an abortion to us, was something to make us feel very, very sad. Because we put a cause in motion that we surround our mobile home, our motor home, with our pure white light of love, and all its ways are peace, and all its paths are pleasantness, and that we will not be disturbed by fire. We will not be disturbed by fire. We will not be disturbed by fire. You see, when we put the cause in motion that we surround our motorhome with our pure white light of love and all its ways of peace and all its paths of pleasantness, that's beautiful. But when we contradict it by saying we shall not be disturbed by fire, we are putting a cause in motion about fire. And the law, as we have learned time and again, does not know no. It only knows to do yes. So, when you say we will not be disturbed by fire, we are saying we will be disturbed by fire. You see, we don't dare even mention anything about an experience that we have. Oh, my aching foot! Oh, my aching foot! My foot's all imperfect. My foot's all imperfect. We put the thought in motion of the positive action, and the aching foot does not exist. The aching foot does not have any power to be, because you do not give it the power. You may stub your toe, but instantly you say, my toe is whole and perfect. Instantly, you put the cause in motion for perfection in your toe, not for hurt. And the hurt could very readily be there if we allowed it to be. We wouldn't have to stub our toe to hurt our toe, I can tell you that. You don't have to have bad food to give you indigestion. You don't have to throw up because you have had some bad food or something bad in your stomach. You could just think a bad thought. Oh, that's galling, that's terrible. And you throw up. You see, our thoughts are so powerful. Our thoughts are so dynamic, especially the thoughts that say, presumably, something we don't want. I'm sick and tired of being poor. I'm sick and tired of not having any money. I'm sick and tired of going around with limited income. And you may get a little bit of income. Poof, it's gone. I'm independently wealthy. We put the cause in motion, and the beautiful things happen. When our choices are well said, the cause is well done. Now, that doesn't mean that a negative cause is not a cause well done. It surely is. When our causes are well done, it's because our choices are well said. Now, remember that. And remember, it doesn't matter whether what happens is what you think is positive or negative. Whatever the cause was put, there has to be a cause for every effect. No effect can take place without a cause. They say in your previous lifetime, your karma is being revisited upon you in this lifetime. I say nonsense. Anything that happens in other dimensions of time and space may affect us in a loving, positive way, but not in a negative way. You say, well, Hitler's going to have to pay for the terrible things he did in his next life. No, he isn't. No, he isn't. He paid for them in this life. He paid for them in his own way, in his own beautiful way. We pay for everything right now. If we do something stupid, we pay by having something stupid happen to us. If we do something loving, we pay for having something loving done to us. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I think that in other dimensions of time and space that I live, I am going to have to pay through the karma of this experience. Well, you can do that. You don't have to do that. That is not the way the world turns. That is not the way the program goes. The program is only now, now, now. That's what we're teaching is now, 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 now. And if we're going to think of what's going to happen later,
I am a rich man now because then I invested my money wisely and I'm living off of my investments.
Oh, I see. You are a rich man now because you are a rich man now in your consciousness. If you were not a rich man now in your consciousness, all of your investments would be for nothing. Many people's investments are for nothing. Many people's investments just go right down the drain because that's their thinking. They're worried about the stock market. They're worried about the real estate market. They're worried about the economy of Europe, the economy of Asia. They're worried about all these things. Instead of worrying about these things, and again, you're not your brother's keeper. Instead of being worried about the market here, the market there, my investments are well chosen, are strong and stable. You see, if you go around the world being yourself and having fun, living in the now, and speaking in the first person present tense positive about everything you do, you will live in an abundant, healthy, hearty, happy, fulfilled life world. You have to. Sister Teresa went in among these people who were deathly sick and did die. And Sister Teresa was not immune to all of them. She took shots to help her, of course. But she was not immune to everything. There were diseases those people had that science didn't even know about yet. But she went in there to give of herself. In her entire life, she did not die of any disease she got there. No, can you confront that? In her entire lifetime, she did not die of any disease that she might have been exposed to. I don't know her entire life story and her day-to-day activities of whether she trembled with a disease that came, but she threw it off right away, if she did. From the video we saw, she was overworked and tired, and she let her resistance get down, but they perked that up right away. It had nothing to do with the illnesses and disease. It was just the heavy load of work and the feeling of inner responsibility. The effect follows the cause. When our choices are well said, the cause is well done. Now, what sort of causes would we like in our life?
Oh, Herb, you're always asking that same question. You're always asking that same question. What do I want out of life? What do I want from myself? What do I expect? I want to be a spiritual master. That's what I want to be. I want to be able to levitate and teleport. I want to be able to do all those wonderful things that a spiritual master can do, because I want to show off that I'm a spiritual master, and I want to show off that I can do these things. Oh, but still, I want to be able to eat. I want to be able to drink. I want to be able to sleep. I want to be able to have sex. I want to be able to have all these other things. I want to go skiing and swimming and dancing and prancing. I want to do all that. Oh, my goodness sakes.
You see, whatever you need, whatever you want to do, you can't. Because you're a weakling. You're a weakling. You don't stand up for who you are. Gregor wanted to go and meet girls. I said, Gregor, go take dancing lessons. You'll meet lots of girls there. And when you're dancing, you'll meet lots of girls, and girls that are nice girls that you want to know.
Well, what do you? I don't want to dance. I don't want to learn how to dance.
Gregor, go do this.
I don't want to do this.
Gregor, go do that. I don't want to. You see, everything was turned down. I say, Stefan, stay awake in your three-hour meditation and watch the miracles happen. I say, Sylvia, you're lying down like a teddy bear on the floor, all cuddled up in your sleeping bag, and how can you ever expect to get any benefit out of the three-hour meditation if you're going to sleep it away? Be awake. Be alert. You say you want your spiritual path so valiantly, so diligently, so much. But the little task of even keeping yourself awake, yeah, you have never learned that. Anita, you lay every day. You lay back, and you're so relaxed, which is beautiful. But you say you want the spiritual path that the three-hour meditation brings you. Stay awake. Irene, you're so experienced. You're so dominant. You're so, oh, you're everything. Wonderful. But the thing is, all that is no good to you if you don't do the program that the three-hour meditation can do for you. Stay awake in it. Listen. Keep your heart open. Keep your mind open. Keep yourself open to that indwelling spirit that speaks to you. And it says to you, you're good, you're fantastic, you're glorious, all of you. All of you. And Ellen nods her head, goes plop, plop. She picks it up, goes plop, plop. You should be so excited about this here that you just cannot, that 3 hours is not enough. And so while you're working, you're living in that consciousness too. Ingeborg, you're like the rest. We forgive you because we say to ourselves, she's older. But Ingeborg, there is no age for a master. And you demonstrate non-age in so many areas of your life. If you wish, you can demonstrate it in that 3 hour meditation. If you sleep in the middle of the day, that's fine. But take those 3 hours that are so precious. I guarantee everybody who will do the 3 hour meditation, if they will stay awake for the 3 hour meditation and be alert to it, at the end of six months, if they will not fall asleep, and that seems like a very silly thing, if they will be so excited that every moment of their 3 hour meditation, they are on the edge of listening and hearing and being themselves. But you see, the effect only follows the cause. If we put the cause in motion that we are spiritually illumined, and then whatever we choose to do, if you don't need to do the 3 hour meditation to be spiritually illumined, don't do it. That is your business. If you have some other technique, like if you can just sit down and say, I am illumined, and then sparkle like one of the masters of the Far East, go for it. If You can go to the Catholic Church or to the Hindu Church or the Muslim Church or Protestant Church of any kind, whatever church across the land, whatever study group across the land, whatever center for learning these wonderful intuitive things. And if you think they can teach it to you, go for it. You won't get it. You won't get it. And the reason you won't get it is because you haven't learned to discipline yourself. How many of the people who have gone to the Maharishi Mahishyoki and trained themselves in levitating actually levitated? We don't really know. Many of them, the newspapers and the television people tell us, were bouncing on their legs trying to get off the floor. Well, that's not levitation. And levitation's not what it's all about. That's like walking on fire. One of these days, some joker's going to come along and say, here's how you levitate. Come in, pay your $100 each, and I'll show you. And he levitates. And you go in there, and you practice what he shows you to do, diligently, with dedication, believing, and you follow it, and you levitate. And then you go home and say to your families, I levitated. They'll say, well, let's see you levitate. Well, I can do it there, but I can't do it here. Oh, garbage. I can walk on fire there, but I can't do it here. I can walk on fire there, but I can't handle a hot pot here. My goodness gracious. You see, if you have indeed learned a universal principle of walking on fire, you should be able to manage anything. Walk on water. Walk on air. Climb the highest mountain without touching the mountain. I'm not kidding you. This is not a joke. This is real stuff. And there are those who do it, and you don't know it because you are blind to it. You have what is the worst disease in the world, and it's going to stay with you until you let it go. And that disease is doubt. You doubt. First, you doubt yourself, and then you doubt everyone in your world. If I say Katie Fink walked on fire several times, you'll say, Katie Fink's not the kind of person I'd think of walking on fire, but if she says she did it, she probably did it, you know. Doubt. Stupid, stupid doubt. It takes us away from the experience that we could have so beautifully if we would just believe in ourselves. It is done unto you according to your belief. Oh, I can do many things, and you can do. I can perform many miracles in front of you, and you can too. And I do perform many miracles in front of you, and you don't see them. You don't see them because you don't believe in me, which is okay. But you should believe in yourself. I don't want worshipers believing in me, thinking I'm special and I can do certain things. And that's one of the big reasons I don't put on that show. Leaders who put on that show get followers who want them to do it. Catherine Kuhlman put on her show of healing in the Shrine Auditoriums of the United States and the world. And people came in there by the 5,000s. And they came up on the stage. And she says, in the name of Jesus, you're healed. And the charisma of Catherine Kuhlman and the charisma of the audience and the conditions of the emotions of everything that was going on there. Not everybody came forth, but many came forth and experienced the healing. Many came forth and experienced the healing and went home and it was gone. Many came forth and experienced the healing and went home and they still had it. It wasn't all forlorn. Jesus had the 5,000 come to him. Only one Shriner auditorium full. He had the 5,000 come to him up on the hillside. And it said that the furthest person away could hear him as well as the nearest person to him. What a beautiful technique he uses. Wonderful. And he broke the bread and gave it to him. Oh, there are stories that say that this is not so. There are stories that say Jesus was not born in a manger. There are stories that are all trying to be realistic. But hey, we don't have to believe that Jesus was born a virgin birth, or he was born in a manger, or that. What did he teach? And what did he do? You see, when our choices are well said, the cause is well done. He spoke beautifully, and his actions followed his speaking. You and I, we speak beautifully too. And do our actions follow our speaking? Stephen goes over and mouths off to the people in the Philippines, and he says, hey, that's cool, I like that. And he goes over to New Zealand and mouths off to them, and the people say, hey, Stephen, you're cool. Now, does he put that into motion? He comes back here to campus, and what's the first thing he does? He starts answering letters that are written to him as a practitioner, and they are exquisite. They're letters that act like a practitioner, seeing the person whole and well, lifting them in their consciousness to see that for themselves. He's putting it in practice. Now, are you too? Ellen travels the world giving lectures. She comes back, and yet she's reluctant to give lectures when she has an opportunity to. Don't do that. Always take the chance to do it. When anyone says speak, speak. You have something to say. If they say talk about dogs, you can talk about cats and lions and tigers and bears and children and people and dogs. But just talk. And talk with your positive, loving, beautiful attitude of saying everything is divine, everything is glorious. People tell me to talk and they give me wonderful topics, and I wrap my subject right around it. I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about self-love. Jesus said that. He said, love the Lord thy God with all the heart and all the mind and all the being, and love your neighbor like yourself. Well, now, why did he say like yourself? Because he said, the kingdom of heaven is within every man. God is within every man. So you are God. So love yourself with all your heart and all your being and all your soul. And love your neighbor like you love yourself. Wow! What a spectacular world this would be. How wonderful it would be. There'd be peace on earth. There'd have to be. There'd be abundance everywhere. There'd have to be. It's not depending on economy or anything else. It is depending upon our word. There'd be wholeness everywhere. For as we have wholeness within us, so we create every man in our world whole. Every woman, every child, every cat, every dog, every animal, every stone, every garden, every plant, every flower, every insect, everything. We create them how? Whole and perfect. The effect follows the cause. That's just the way it works. The effect follows the cause. Whatever cause we put in motion, that's our effect. If we put a cause in motion for, just like a little piece of cake. No. Take the piece that serves you and eat what you want. But that's wasteful. That's right. And then I blame you. Don't take a big piece of cake if you're not going to eat it. Others would like to have it. I'm giving you a hard time. I'm giving you a hard time. You know, I teach you, if you turn it on, turn it off. If it is on and you turn it off, turn it on again. House rules. Oh, so simple. Well, I'm master of those. I handle those real good. Really? I go in the shower, and I turn on the two little heads of the shower, and I use it, and I turn off the shower and leave the two heads on. somebody else comes along and turns on the shower and they turn off the other little head. That's fine. They're welcome to do that. But principle says, if it was on, turn it on. When you turn it off. Principle says that. Now, Anita did a beautiful job of vacuuming my house for me. Cleaning the house, just beautiful. Very diligent, very dedicated. But I didn't notice the vacuum marks where I sleep. And that, of course, should be very carefully vacuumed if you're going to vacuum the house. Because that's where I sleep. And that's where the dogs sleep with me, with their sandy feet. And that's where I sleep. And all the other bathrooms are cleaned up nice, but my bathroom may or may not have been touched, the one that I use. So, indeed, Anita is cleaning the whole house for your use, because you come down here and you walk here and you go there, you go to the broadcasting room, you go into the Geremini Chapel, you go into the Swimex, and you go into the living room and the dining room and the kitchen. And so all those things are clean. Just I'm not knocking Anita. She stayed out of my office and my room because I was working there. But if you're going to clean a man's house, the most important rooms to clean are the ones that he lives in. And the ones that I live in are my study and my office and my bathroom there. That's where I live. I'm out here in my living room 2 seconds now and then to water the plants. I'm in the kitchen to mix my juice. I'm in the broadcasting room to help Ellen set it up. I'm in the Geremini Chapel just to turn on the light in the morning so that you can all walk here with a nice light. You see, Herb, if you're so good, why don't you put a cause in motion that your office and your counseling room are cleaned up above all else? Why don't you do that? Well, if I'm going to go around putting causes in motion for my happiness and my good expressions here and not allow you to come up with it for yourself, then there's no need for this training school. There's no need for the monastery. But the monastery is for each of you to do whatever you do beautifully and wonderfully. You say, Herb, why are you picking on Anita? Well, that just happened to be what happened. Well, why don't you pick on Sylvia? She messed up there too. That's true. Why don't you pick on Irene? She's always doing something and nothing. That's true too. What about Ingeborg? Same way. What about Ellen? What about Stefan? I pick on all of you. And I pick on you because of one thing. I want you to be aware of the effect that follows the causes. If you're going to ever say to yourself, I'm unhappy, I can't do this, this irritates me, or Herb is irritating me by talking about me in that way, too bad. That's what I'm here for. When our choices are well said, the cause is well done. You can put these effects into motion so beautifully by just having a cause that will accomplish it. And the first cause that accomplishes the effects in our life is to say, I like me. The second cause is to say, I like me. And the third cause is to say, I like me. If you like yourself 100%, your world will be spectacular and you will be the happiest being on earth. The effect follows the cause. When our choices are well said, the cause is well done. The effect follows the cause. When our choices are well said, the cause is well done. The effect follows the cause. when our choices are well done, well said, the cause is well done. I'll read that properly the last time now. The effect follows the cause. When our choices are well said, the cause is well done.